Okay, I think we're about ready to go. We got a bill, quite a clock thing, I think, going on. Jace Caldwell is going to word our prayer for us as we get started this evening.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for another opportunity we have to come here tonight to learn more about your word regards to worry. Help us to realize as we're going through this class that you've given us all the tools we need to be able to deal with the worry in our lives. Help us to dive into the scripture tonight and to take some examples and some wisdom that you have already given us to be able to use in our lives. Be with Jim as he presents. Help him to only present the truth. Help him to present in a way that's easily understandable, and help us to be attentive. We pray all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Okay. So David had me for a minute there before we got started, and I apologize. I'm just it's going to take me a minute to kind of get together here. So one of the things that I ask you to do, before we had our class on Sunday morning, was to look up some specific scriptures that you use. Thank you, Jason. And it's scriptures that you use to help you when you are personally dealing with worry. So I was hoping that I might get folks to share some of that with us. And if anybody's got one in particular that you want to tell me about, that would be great. If you missed Sunday morning, we're on lesson two, The Trouble with Worry. And we'll finish that up tonight. And then Gary will start on lesson three on Sunday morning, Trouble Over Family Discord. Okay? So, anybody have any scriptures in particular that they want to share that they use when they are dealing with worry? I know, I'm trying to get you to talk right out of the gate, right? Mike's going to share one with us. What is it, Mike?
Proverbs 3.
Read it.
5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight.
Yeah, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's one of my favorites, too. Probably my three focus verses. It's one of my three focus verses for 2020. I like that one as well. Who else? Anybody else got one that you really like to read that gives you comfort when you find yourself in a bad place? Shannon, wait just a minute here. Let's get Jace down here. He's got long legs. He can get there fast.
One that I've gone to again is Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. It says, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
And it's Isaiah, say it again.
40 verse 31.
40, 31. Okay, that's a good one too. Anybody else got one? Yeah, Brad.
This is my own personal one, is Isaiah 43, beginning really about halfway through verse 1 through verse 3. It says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior.
Yeah.
It reads a lot better out of the King James.
That's powerful. King James?
No, that's the New American Standard,
okay.
But it's a lot more powerful if you read it out of the King James.
Yeah, and you know what that also reminds me of? 23rd Psalm. I see some similarities in some of the things he talks about from a protection standpoint there. Gene, what do you got?
I like Romans 8, 31 through 39.
Okay.
Verse 31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? And then on down in those verses, it talks about that nothing can separate us from the love of God.
Okay.
That's some of my favorite verses.
Yeah, and you know, all of those verses talk about the kind of impact that a relationship on the Lord has with us when we run into trouble, whatever that trouble might be. Anybody else? Jeff's got one.
Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9. Two things I have required of thee, deny me that them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of the God of my God in vain.
Okay. So what's important, right? What matters? What does that verse mean to you?
Just you be content with what you have and thankful for what you have, and it is what it is.
Yeah, and you know, part of what we've been talking about in this reading in Matthew, the Lord's going to take care of us. Whatever our needs are, the Lord is going to take care of us. We got to have trust and confidence in Him that He will. And we've got to live our lives in such a way that reflects that we believe that. And that fits in really good with where we're getting ready to get back into Matthew, the 6th chapter. If you want to take your Bibles and turn to that. We read that. We went through that. I've got some more scriptures I want to look at tonight as we go through that too. But we talked about the fact that it says you can't serve two masters. In verse 24, either you'll hate one and love the other, or else be loyal to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and serve man. And you know, the thought there is, what's most important to you? What is most important to us? Is our relationship with God most important to us, or are things of this world most important to us? And if you think about it, what generally causes problems and worry in our lives anyway? Things that we don't control and things that are of this world. So you serve God or you serve man, and where does most of the trouble come from? Things that are of this world that we can't control a lot of times. So what do we put our confidence in? We put our confidence in God, or do we put our confidence in stuff? And if everything is tied up in stuff, there's a whole lot more to be worried about. And that's not where we want to be. That's not where we want to put our faith. That's not where we want our lives to be focused. Okay, then the next thing is that next point in the next verse, and that is, don't worry about your physical life. Again, that it has the thought or the emphasis of, you know, talking about, is God going to take care of us? Gene, you think God's going to take care of you? Does that mean you just quit and you don't have to do anything? You just sit on the sidelines and it's all going to be okay? That means we got to do our part, but He's going to take care of us. We got to do what He expects us to do in our responsibilities to one another. You know, a man and providing for his family, and a husband and wife doing what they've got to do to take care of the family and making the family unit work the way that He told us it should work. But He's basically saying that, you know, we don't need to worry about our life, and we don't need to worry about the things that are of this world. Again, making that point again. And then He goes on to say, God's going to take care of your needs. He starts out by saying, who are you going to serve? You're going to serve God, or you're going to serve man, the world? And then He goes on to say, He keeps making the point, God's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of our needs. The next point that He makes in the next verse is, our confidence in God reflects our faith. So, do we have confidence in God taking care of our needs? Do we have confidence in God going to supply our needs? Do we have confidence in God being in control over all these things that are, you know, the needs that we have while we are in this life? I think the next thing that He's talking about is, what are the priorities that we have? What are the priorities that we have? And do we put our priorities on things that are of this world? Or do we put our priorities on relationship with God, on trying to better understand what He expects of us, and doing the very best we can to try and live that way every day? We talked about getting sidelined by things that don't matter. We talked about worry, and we talked about, what was the other thing we talked about in relation to? There was a question that was asked on Sunday morning. Concern. Yes, so the difference between worry and concern. And what's the difference between worry and concern? Worry is just, you know, you kind of get in a ball over here. And we talked about the fact that the word worry means strangle. And it kind of just shuts you down, keeps you from really being able to do what you need to do. But if you have concern about things, then you get an action plan in place to be able to do something about it. Do what you can about that thing or that situation. And again, if we've got our priorities right, if we've got our relationship with the Lord right, if we're trying to do the best we can to do what He expects of us based on what His Word and His will is for us, then there's not anything that happens that we're not going to be able to deal with it. Does that mean that there's not going to be things happen that are not going to be hard to deal with still? Huh? Yeah, we're still going to have hard things to deal with in life. That's just part of life. But the difference is whether you're trying to deal with those things with the things of this world being your priority, or if you're trying to deal with those things with God and your relationship with God being your priority. And the things that are that way, that are hard, they're easier to deal with when our priority is on God and His will, and trying to live our lives that way to the very best of our ability every day. And then he closes out in verse 34 and says, "Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." What does that mean? What do you think that means? Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Don't worry about tomorrow.
Got all you can handle today.
Yeah, Todd says basically you got all you can handle today. Focus on today. And when tomorrow gets here, deal with tomorrow. And you know, the other reality of what a Christian should think about, I believe, is in 2 Peter the 3rd chapter and about verses 9 through 11. Where we talk about the day of the Lord. I mean, the Lord's going to come, right? And if we really believe that the Lord's going to come, and the Lord could come at any time, the Lord could come tonight, couldn't He? Do we act like we think He's going to come tonight, generally speaking? I don't think so. I mean, probably not. I mean, I've got my day lined up for tomorrow. You know, I know what I got to do. I know when I got to hit the ground. I know he knows when he's going to be at work. He's checking on his wife at the hospital. She's hopefully going to get out tomorrow. He's got plans. Don't we all have plans? And there's not anything wrong with planning, because you don't just sit around and wait for the day of the Lord either. Just like you don't sit around and think that Lord's just going to take care of you and you don't have to do anything. We go about our lives every day doing what we've got to do to take care of ourselves and take care of our families, meet our obligations and responsibilities in our jobs, and all of that stuff. That's just part of life. But it's, how are we thinking about all of that? And if we think in such a way that we say we believe that the day of the Lord could be tonight before this Bible class is over, and we really believe that to be the case, then the way we look at everything that happens is going to be very different. And instead of worrying about tomorrow, I need to be focusing on doing the very best I can do today. While I'm part of this Bible study, when we get ready to sing a song and hear an invitation in a little bit, when we get ready to go home, if you got children, hear their prayers, try and provide them the leadership that they need to understand what's important. When we encourage a spouse or we talk to a child. Whatever it might be, this whole idea of living with intent. And here's something that I found that I thought was pretty good too, when it says about, don't worry about tomorrow. When Jesus spoke these profound words, he didn't mean we would not experience heartache, pain, uncertainty, and suffering of all kinds. He simply meant we should not anticipate ahead of time trouble that we don't know will come. And that kind of goes back to worry too. We look for so many times worst case scenario about something that's happening, and we imagine that's the way it'll be before it ever occurs. And that's just not how he wants us to live our lives. Never borrow from the future. If you live in dread of what may happen and it doesn't happen, you've worried in vain. Even if it does happen, you worry twice. Worry is the interest paid to those who borrow trouble. You don't try to reach the top of a flight of stairs by taking one giant leap from the bottom to the top. You would climb one step at a time until you reach the top. In the same sense, God wants you to do what you can today and leave the troubles of tomorrow for tomorrow's strength that you have to face that challenge. This is a picture I found. I just kind of went on the internet and Googled, you know, the largest staircase in the world. And this place is called Heaven's Gate. It's in China. And it's 777 steps. That's a lot of steps. Hey, can you imagine trying to take that one step at a time? No, you take it one day at a time. And that's the way we take life. We put our faith and our confidence in God, and we give attention to what needs that attention today. Life's a whole lot easier when we do it that way. Take every day one day at a time. Live life to its fullest every day. Enjoy the journey every day. You know, we always need to be looking for something to be thankful for, to be blessed with in our lives every day. Because there is always something, no matter how bad the thing is we might be going through. And focus on today, and even something that we focus on today might help fix tomorrow too. So, you know, don't worry. We also talked about the fact that worry distorts and changes our priorities. And it was funny, I was working on a video over in Somerset today, and one of the people that I was interviewing, we were talking about, you know, business and how they try to move things forward and get things done. And this individual, it was a lady, and she said, you know, the thing that I always try and encourage people to understand is that if you just get up and do something, if you make something happen, you know, you're going to move forward instead of staying where you are. She was talking about a business example, but I thought it kind of related some to what we're talking about here. Proactive instead of reactive. In my mind, proactive is not worry for thinking. It's concern thinking. And it's letting God's word be our guide. And, you know, I brought up this idea of intentional living. And I want us to think about that. I want you to think about that every day. I want you to think about how you're mapping out your life on a day-to-day basis based on what God has told us he wants us to do. And again, if we just go back to this scripture right here, and we're going to look at several more tonight, he's told us what he wants us to do. If you even go back a little bit ahead of that in the sixth chapter, he makes the point, and he really gets into it prior to this whole idea of who you're going to serve and not to worry about life. In verse 19, he says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. It kind of emphasizes that same point of what really matters to you. What do you value? Because if the physical things of this life is what you value, what's that verse right there saying, 19? What does it say?
It's all going away.
It's all going away. It's all going away. It's going to rust and rot, and it won't be here. And if those are the things that we put our confidence in, then what have we put our confidence in? stuff that rots and goes away. And the only thing that's eternal, the only thing that matters is our soul. Lay up your treasures in verse 20. In heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it really gets to that point of who you serve. You either serve the world or you serve God. And that's what we've got to decide. If we're going to live intentional lives, if we're going to proactively be the person that God wants us to be every day, we've got to decide what's most important to us. And we can be in here and we can talk about this and we can read these lessons and we can quote these scriptures and all this stuff. And then if we go out tomorrow and all we're concerned about is some kind of cutthroat deal where I'm going to see if I can get the best of somebody on a business transaction, then does that really reflect what we're talking about right here, Mike? It's about where your treasures are, right? So those are the things that we've got to ask ourselves. We've got to decide what matters to us. And as we think about worry and how it distorts and changes our priorities, we think about intentional living, we think about what we value. You know, the other thing that you can continue to look at right there is verses 22 through 23 in Matthew, the sixth chapter. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, the light that is in your If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then he goes into that. Nobody can serve two masters. So do you think people that see you in your everyday life have some indication of what's important to you and who you are? Do you think they do? Do you think when you interact with other people, they have some indication of what you value and what kind of person you are? Should they? What's this right here say? Verses 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. What's it talking about there? What do people see in us? Have you ever had somebody, and you know, had this happen this week? I was doing a business transaction, and I've worked really hard at trying to get into a conversation about something that's current that I'm doing from a Bible study standpoint. And I got to talking about this class, and I got to talking about worry, and this individual says, okay, well, where do you go to church? And I said, I go to West End Church of Christ. And so they knew somebody that went here, and so they had an impression of that individual as a result of knowing that I went here and had something to, you know, mention that person. So whether we know it or not, other people are making their assessment, not only of us individually, but of this congregation as a result of what they see from people that are in the community that are part of this congregation. Now that person would never know that this individual would say anything to me, but we all get to either reveal our light or what? Darkness. So we're revealing one of the two. We're either revealing light or darkness. So we got to think about that. That's why it's so important as we get ready to go out and live our lives every day that we're prepared. So those are all the things that we talked about before, what worry motivates and what God-centered living motivates. And just take a look at those again and think about your own personal life. You know, are you shut down? Do you live in doubt? Do you always look for worst-case reactions? Do you have fear or self-pity or depression and a lack of confidence in God? Or are you actively living and confident and blessed in the things that are happening in your life? You look for the good. You create peace of mind through Bible study and prayer. You have appreciation for how you've been blessed. and you recognize through your God-centered life how fortunate you are. There shouldn't be a day that goes by that we don't stop and think about how fortunate we are. I showed this before as well. And when we get into Ephesians, when it talks about the armor of God in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, what do you think that is all about? What do you think the writer is trying to say with regard to the armor of God and the importance of that in our everyday lives? And do you understand what I'm saying when I say it's about intentional living and we think about the armor of God and how that helps us to accomplish that? What's it talking about in Ephesians, the sixth chapter? What are the areas of the body that are to be protected? Head, breast, feet. And what is the Bible? It's our defense. It's how we defend ourselves against Satan and the things that are of this world. So if we don't go, think about people in that time, and I think that's why the example was used. How important was their armor to protect them when they got ready to go in battle? How important is armor today when men get ready to go into battle? Ryan?
Well, it's an extreme example of, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, that guy takes all that off. Lays his sword down, takes his helmet off, takes off all of his chainmetal and all that, and he's a normal man. But he knows if he goes out the next day to battle with that all that on, he's going to die. And I think that's as Christians, we you know, sometimes we forget to put our helmet on. Sometimes we forget to take our sword. And, you know, it's a very extreme visual because, I mean, we're visual people. And
I am.
Yeah, me too. And so, I mean, just knowing that, you know, if you go out without that, you're going to be in real trouble.
Yeah, that's a good point. And that's the point that I was trying to drive home is if we go out every day into this world that we live in and we've not prepared ourselves for being out there, or even like, for example, yeah, I go out and I interact with customers, you know, it kind of, sometimes I'm gone for a couple of days and I'm out interacting with people. Sometimes I'm still working out of my home office, but I'm still interacting with people and I'm still doing all the things that I've got to do. So I've still got to put my armor on. I've still, just because I'm not going to physically see somebody doesn't mean I still don't have to be ready and prepared and have all of my armor on so that I'm ready to deal with whatever comes at me. And I don't, part of putting it on, to the analogy that Ryan's talking about, and I think that the analogy is in the reading as well, helps me understand the importance of having it so I will be protected. And if I don't put it on, even if I'm working from home, then I still don't have it on. I'm still not ready. You know, and I'm on the phone a lot with customers and doing the things that I've got to do. You know, and everybody's got different situations. Brad's out a lot. Where Brad, you encounter a lot of people, right? So, you know, it's certainly, I'm confident on Brad's mind about those things and the impact that he has on people because he sees people. So many people all the time. That's not always the case for me. So even it's more important that I make those preparations when I'm on the phone. And I'm not necessarily, like I say, leaving, but intentionally preparing myself to make sure that I've got and am using the tools and resources that are available to me for daily living that's going to please God. So here's what I want you to draw somewhere in the back of your book or on a piece of paper when you get home or whatever it might be. And that's a little bit of a homework assignment for you. And I'm not going to come back and ask you about it, but I just want you to think about it a little bit. I want you to think about what you are doing with regard to living in a proactive way in using those resources that God has given you to live an intentional life. Or if there's things that you're doing that are very reactive, make note of those too. Because a lot of times, unless we're willing to write down the problems that we have, That's true for me anyway. It's hard for me to really deal with them. If I just let them float around up here, and it doesn't hit paper, then it's not as easy for me to come to terms with it. But if I will write it down, I do a lot better with trying to do that. So, intentional living across the top and the old 1-2 column, how you're proactively living on behalf of the Lord, or what you're doing in a reactive way that's not reinforcing what you want to see get accomplished. I showed you this as well, and I hope that this further drives home the point of what we're talking about. Having the right tools, we've got the right tool. This is the only tool we need. It's just how well we prepare ourselves and how it gets used to be able to hit the target of pleasing God and not having worry in our lives and understanding that it doesn't help us accomplish anything positive, and it's only negative. If you look at Matthew, the 7th chapter, right there about the same place where you have your Bible open, if it's like mine, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you if his son asks for bread will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask of him?" Does that mean God's always going to give us exactly what we ask for when we ask for it? Gene has already given me nope. Sometimes what we ask for might not be the right thing. Or sometimes we don't get what we ask for in the time frame that maybe we think. Or sometimes it's not even necessarily the answer that we thought we were going to get. But don't we have to have confidence in God that He's going to take care of us, He's going to take care of our needs, He's going to help us to work through whatever happens. And sometimes the answer is not always what you want that answer to be. But you've got to be willing to live with the answer that you get. Madison?
Also, you could go after that. Go to Matthew 17,
okay,
verses 20 through 21. "So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.'"
Okay. So we got to believe. We got to have faith. We got to move forward in a direction that we think is appropriate. We've got to ask for God to give us the answers that we need, but it might not always be, like we say, exactly what we're looking for. But there's a solution for everything that happens. It might not always be the solution that we thought it was going to be too, though. Okay. All right. So some other scriptures I want to look at. And I hope, again, y'all can see those. You got a comment? Okay.
Going to say, sometimes God knows better than what we even do, so what we think we may want or need, turns out that God knows more, that we don't even need those things or what we're asking for.
He always knows. You know, and we think we know. And that's what we've got to put our confidence in. We've got to put our confidence in his knowing, his knowledge, his understanding, and his providing for. Anybody else? Anything else? Okay, let's look at some more scriptures. And again, 23rd Psalm, I mean, isn't that one of the memory verses that everybody first learned when you were a small child? And I think it's one that gets overlooked just because it kind of had that identity, if you will, as one that you memorized when you were a child and you really don't go back to it and read it very much. But look at Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." And think about all the things that we've talked about. Think about worry. Think about, you know, putting our trust and confidence in God, putting our desire to please Him, but also understand He understands what's best for us. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What should that say to us when we think about not letting worry be a part of our lives? What do you get out of the 23rd Psalm as it relates to not worrying? And I'll tell you what I get too. Jace, do you have a comment? Oh, sorry. Move on, right? I thought you did. Go ahead. Put the microphone on there.
I was just going to say that the Lord is a shepherd, my shepherd. And, you know, just like sheep, you know, if sheep don't have a shepherd, they wander. And that's why there's so many stories about the lost sheep in the 99. And I mean,
yes, so they follow him.
Right.
He provides for them. Mm-hmm. He takes care of them. He guides them. He makes sure that their needs are met. You know, and if we've got that relationship with God, whatever happens, he's going to take care of us. But we've got to desire that relationship. If we don't desire that relationship, how does that work? It does not. Okay, Psalms 25 and 1 through 5. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. I put my confidence in you, Lord. I'm going to live my life every day in a way that you would have me to live. I'm going to do everything I can to please you based on what you've asked of me. That's what God expects from us. Psalms 27, 10. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. The Lord's always going to take care of us, and I think I meant to have more to that reading, but still, the Lord's always there. He's always going to take care of us. Okay, let God drive. So basically what I'm talking about is let him be in control. Let him lead us. Let him be, and look at what my first verse is there, Mike. Did you see that? Huh? Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. And yours was 5 and 6, right? So trust in the Lord always with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. What does that have to do with? If we're wise in our own eyes, what's the problem?
Pride
and a lack of humility. And does that ever get anybody in trouble? Every time. Pride and a lack of humility. Look at me, look at what I've done. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You ever done something, you don't feel good about what you did, and you just feel weak? I mean, you physically feel weak because you know what you did wasn't right. You ever done that? Anybody ever done? I've seen a few heads shaking. Y'all ever done that? I mean, there's been things where I did something I shouldn't have done or I said something I shouldn't have said, and I just almost felt, I felt weak. And the truth gives us power. It gives us the light that we need to reflect. And if it's not in us, then it goes the other way. We talked about Matthew in the 6th chapter in verses 19 through 24 and 25 through 27 and 34. But basically the point there is priorities that we reflect in our lives. What are our priorities? And our priorities are reflected by the things that we do in our lives every day. Okay, don't live anxious lives. Philippians, the fourth chapter in verses 6 through 8. Philippians 4, 6 through 8. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Again, talking about the kind of character that we need to have reflected in our lives and not being anxious for things that don't matter. The other thing we need to be thinking about is comparing our suffering to Christ. How bad you think it is for you in your life and anything that you've got going on compared to the suffering of Christ. Matt, that sermon that you sent me, and thinking about, you sent me one that was talking about Mary and Joseph, that was talking about the anxiety that, you know, you really don't think about that both of them had to go through to be put in the position that the Lord put them in, that God put them in for bringing Christ into this world as a man. But from the beginning of time, you know, he knew that was going to happen. Mary and Joseph didn't know it. It just happened. They were chosen for that role because of their priorities, because of their character, because of the people that they chose to be. And they said, it's going to be them. It's going to be them. And did it create anxiety for them? It really did. I mean, the scriptures in Luke, the first chapter, really where it's giving the account of what happened with Mary, really talk about that and how it created anxiety for her. And, you know, think about just that scenario. You know, the world we live in today, it's not as big a deal, but certainly at that point in time it would be. You know, he had not been with the woman that he was betrothed to, and she's pregnant with a child. Would that create any talk for Mary and Joseph or about Mary and Joseph? That's part of what the speaker was pointing out to with regard to the scripture. And so, yeah, was there a little anxiety for them? Yeah, there was. When they lived their lives with Christ and raised him, was there anxiety for them? Yeah, there was. I mean, just in the things that he was about while he was here on this earth and involved in his work and them still being concerned with him, for him. And then even to the point of his death and where Mary was beside him when he died and the pain and the anxiety that certainly she must have experienced at that time too. But the sufferings of Christ compared to our suffering, there's no comparison. And however bad we might think we've got it and whatever happens, it can't compare to the sufferings of Christ. And I'm not going to get through all my scriptures that I've got here because we're going to run out of time. And it may ring at any point here. So, but if you just look up here, 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9, talking about humility and trusting in God. Again, more about the priorities in 1 John, the second chapter, in verses 15 through 17. By what are you called? And I've got Romans 8, 28. All things work together for those that love the Lord, are called according to his purpose. And if it is his purpose that we live by in our intentional lives every day, we're not going to worry about stuff. We're going to do the best we can to live the way he would have us live. Growing with trials and submission and not worrying about the problems. And James talks about that a lot in the first and fourth chapters. It also is important to understand that when we're going up against Satan every day, as we do, faith will subdue worry. And in Hebrews, the 11th chapter in verses 1 through 6, it talks about what faith is, and it talks about the fact that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We can't have the kind of character he wants us to have if we don't have faith. So we've got to do the very best we can every day to try and let that be who we are. So let's see. Yeah, that was what I wanted to close with. And Gary, we'll start with lesson three on Sunday. You know, just think about what our priorities are in all of those roles and try to stay focused so we've got good things to think about as we move forward instead of letting worry put us on the sideline. Thanks for your feedback and attention tonight. I appreciate it.